All right, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Kuf Mem and Shabbos. We start today with the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Now, you remember the parak started off with Tolan and Mishmeris. We're putting some sort of filter, some sort of strainer over the barrel. Question of whether you can put it on to begin with on Yom Tov and on Shabbos. Second question, whether I can actually strain on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. The position of the Chachamim is that on Ein Tolan and Mishmeris be Yom Tov. The Enos and Latulia B'Shabbos, so that on Yontif you can't put the Mishmeris on Yontif, the strainer on Yontif. You could pour through it on Yontif, because that's, as we talked about, Yontif you have Ochel Nefesh, but on Shabbos, Enos and Latulia B'Shabbos, you can't strain it through on Shabbos. Okay, that's the first mission that we learned in this parak, and we spent a considerable amount of time discussing some of the issues of both CS Ohel and straining on Shabbos. We continue now with the next Mishnah, which is basically, some straining is okay. Even though the Chachamim's position is to strain wine, to now make it drinkable is prohibited, but a certain amount of straining would be acceptable, the Mishnah begins. Notice the Mayin Agabe Shmarim B'Shul Sheiv Solu, that you're allowed to pour water over the Shmarim. Shmarim over here are sediments of wine. The good old days when wine was made, so on the very bottom of the wine, you would have sediments, wine sediments. And they basically, what you can do is you can refill. Where after you finish the wine, what you do is you run some waters over the sediment, and it'll produce some very weak wine. It's a diluted wine. But anyway, but basically you can do it again, you can run it through again, and the Mishnah says, no, semayim al-gabei shmarim b'shul sheiv solu. So here, I'm not straining, I'm not separating. In fact, just the opposite. I want the water to collect the that juice, that syrup of the sediments. So that says the mission. That's fine. That's not a problem. No, it's not. Now, if you want to strain your wine through a cloth, uvik fifa mitzris, or using some sort of basket, that would be fine as well. Now, why would that be fine? That sounds like the act of straining. That sounds like it should be prohibited. So the Gemara is going to raise that issue. The Gemara is going to discuss a little bit. Now, some baits of mesanenah shel chardal. So you could put an egg over the mesanenah shel chardal, over the mustard seed. Now, I don't quite frankly understand this whole thing with the mustard seed. We're going to be speaking about it a little bit today. The coloring of the mustard seed, the kneading of the mustard seed. I mean, mustard in a jar I get, but how they used to eat their mustard, I'm not quite following. But the point is as follows, is that what they used to do is they used to put the mustard seeds on some sort of cloth, some sort of strainer, and they would crack an egg over it. And the reason why they did that is that they wanted the mustard seed to collect the color of the egg. They want it to be yellow. Now, I thought mustard was yellow to begin with, but that just shows you how little I know. But anyway, they wanted the mustard to collect the yellow coloring, so that's what they did. Now, when you crack the egg over the cloth, there'd be a separation of white and yellow. Okay, and the Mishnah's point is that's fine. And the Gemara later on will ask, but you're separating. Okay, so again, these are things to consider as we go through the Mishnah. Osin anomlin b'Shabbos. You can make anomlin on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda omrin b'Shabbos b'kos b'yom tov b'lagin v'moed b'chavis. And Rav Yehuda says, depending on the day, you are going to be limited to how much annulment you can make. You notice I didn't translate what it was? Yeah, I know. The Gemara is going to translate what it is. So on Shabbos, you can make a cup's worth. On Yontif, you can actually make a log. Okay, more than a cup, obviously. On Chol HaMoed, you can make an entire barrel. Rabbi Tzadok Omer, HaKol Lefi HaOrech. And Rabbi Tzadok says, it has no connection to the day it is, Shabbos, Yontif, or Chol HaMoed, but it rather has to do with how many guests you have. Okay, much to discuss in this Mishnah. We go through the Mishnah step by step as we go through the Gemara. Amar Ziri knows that Adam Yain Salom Umayim Salom Sochem Mishmeres B'Shabbos Ve'Enoch Choshesh. Pour wine through the strainer, or pour water through the strainer, and Enoch Choshesh, and you do not need to worry. So essentially, what we kind of learned in our Mishnah, but now the Gemara is saying it even clearer, is that filtration of water, filtration of wine, is allowed on Shabbos. Aval Achurin Lo, but, right, an important but. But not if the wine is dirty wine, or not if the water is dirty water. Meaning, if you're not ready to drink the water before filtration, and you're only going to drink the water after filtration, so then that you can't do. Because that now is separating, that's bora, that's merakid, however you want to say it. So that you're not allowed to do. So you're allowed to filter water, you're allowed to filter wine, but only if you were ready to drink the water or wine before filtration. Right? It's a common question that comes up nowadays, or filtering water, filtering wine. Well, filtering wine, not much. Filtering water. Right, bottled water has turned into an industry the likes of which we never would have imagined. So are you allowed to filter the water? Now, if you're buying the bottled water, it's already been filtered. So that's not an issue. But some people have, you know, those like Brita filters. I haven't seen those around in a while. So,
wine. Huh? The wine, aerate the wine. No, I'm saying you put it through. Nothing stays in there.
You're a consumer of wine.
No, I'm saying that's exactly what they're talking about.
Okay.
There's no residue.
Right. So that exactly the point. The point is that, in other words, there was no. It's not an act of separation if you're ready to drink it before. And so, can you filter the water on Shabbos? So again, it's the same answer. If you're ready to drink the water before filtration, so then the act of filtering is not an issue. But if you're not ready to drink the water before filtration, if you're that person, so then your filtering would be prohibited. Meisvei the Gemara has a brayser. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Torid Adam Chavish Al Yayin. Yain Ushmarev Nosan Lasoch Hamishmaras Beshabbos Veino Choshesh. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa seems to be a little bit difficult because the brisa says that a person can mix together wine and its sediment and put it and put it through a strainer on Shabbos and need not worry. And it sounds like this the purpose of straining over here is actual separation, and that would be problematic. Tirgama Ziri Ben Agitoshanu. So Ziri says, yeah, but that's Ben Agitos. That's already while the wine's still back in the vat. While the wine is back in the vat, as Rashi explains. Rashi writes, "Shekol ayenos achurin v'shosin osam bishamreham." Rashi writes that in the vat, everyone understands that when they're about to drink wine from the vat, it's unprocessed. It's really unrefined, and so everybody drinks the wine knowing there's going to be sediments over here. It's going to be fine. Hilkach in kantikon. I'm reading Rashi. Hilkach in kantikon de balav hachi mishtate. So there's no real tikkun because you're about to drink it anyway. So again, it comes back to the same point. If you're ready to drink before filtration, so then the act of filtration is not a problem. If you're not ready to drink before filtration, so then filtering would be a problem. Misan is the yain besudrin, pouring the wine through the handkerchief. Amar Rav Shimon bar Chiya vavad shelo yaseh guma. You can't make a hole with the handkerchief. Not a hole. I'm not saying it well. But you can't make like a recess, a concave. There we go.
Right.
You can't make a concave shape of the sieve. Now, why not? So the Gemara doesn't explain. So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi offers an explanation. Two explanations, actually. Rashi writes, Shelo Yaseh Guma, second line of Rashi after the Gemara, Menasuda Befi Hakli, Ki Uvda Dechol. So the first explanation of Rashi is that this is Uvda Dechol. Uvda Dechol is a term that we've thrown around a lot in the 20th parak of Shabbos. So you hear it again. One of the general themes of the 20th parak is Uvda Dechol. It's a weekday activity. What exactly that means? So you could simply say it's just not Shabbos Dik, although in this context I have no idea what that means. Why putting the strainer on is fine, but then having it recessed down, that's Uvda Dechol. Or perhaps the Uvda Dechol also means it looks like a malacha. It appears like a malacha, and I'm guessing that when you now make it concave, and now it's recessed a little bit in, it kind of looks like a strainer, and so therefore it looks like a malacha. Inami asil de schita, or Rashi gives another explanation, and that is this alita schita, because remember, it's a cloth. And what I'm doing is I'm pouring wine through it. Now, the more wine it absorbs, the more likely I am to want to squeeze it out. So if I make it flat and I'm just pouring the wine through it, so it'll gain a little bit of moisture, but if I actually have it now cupping into the cup, so now it's going to absorb even more wine, and therefore, as Rashi explains to Gemara, that's why you can't do that, because we're afraid you want to squeeze that cloth. So it's a issur derabanan of you may come to do schita. Uvikfifa mitzris, pouring the wine through a basket. Here, there's another concern, and that is the CSOHA. We learned that you're not allowed to make a tent on Shabbos, even a temporary tent. We also learned Rashi has been consistent on his position that the Asiyas Olah is regarding the Gog, regarding the roof. The walls is not an issue, says Rashi, but it's only the roof. Tosfos argues with Rashi. We've made this observation a couple of times. But anyway, you can't make a temporary roof. So here, says the Gemara, this is very interesting, you can't, when I'm straining through the basket, I got to make sure that the basket is low to the ground. Because once I raise it above the ground, I'm basically making it an ohel, a tent, over the ground. I say ground over here, I mean anything that's going to catch the wine. And so therefore, it is, if you make it any amount higher than a tefach off the that which I'm catching it, would be a violation of Asiyas Ohel. Amrav Hai Parnuka Apage de Kuva Shari Akula Kuve Aser. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav. Okay, question of what the correct use in the Gemara is, but either way, Gemara says Hai Man Hai Parnuka. So if I have this barrel, so I can cover half of it, right? Apage de Kuve Shari, but Akule Kuva Aser. But to cover the entirety of it would be prohibited. Why? What's the difference between half of it versus all of it? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Apaga Dekuva, the lav oel have. Because if I'm only covering half, so it's not all. If I'm covering all of it, so it would be an oel. Okay, somewhat of a controversy in terms of what Rashi says, meaning Asiyas Ohel is only going to be when I cover the entirety of the roof, but if I only cover a portion of the roof, that's not Asiyas Ohel. That's certainly how it sounds like from Rashi. Okay, one could certainly argue with Rashi, not me, of course, but I'm saying other Rishonim. I believe other Rishonim do argue with Rashi. In the meantime, we're going on. Amar apapalo nehadik inish tzainaisa bepume de kuzna de chavita. You can't put twigs and other types of straw, thin straw, on the mouth of a barrel, mishum de mechze kemishmeres, because now basically what I'm doing is I'm creating a strainer. In other words, when I pour out and I pour through the twigs, so essentially what I've done is I created a strainer in the basket. Debe Rav Papa Shafi Shichra Mimana Lamana. And finally, on this last point of straining, so the Gemara says that Rav Papa would pour from one cup to another cup, meaning what he would do when he was pouring his beer, remember, Rav Papa was our world-famous brewer. So, and when he would pour the shechar from one cup to another cup, so he would love that activity because the beer also had sediment on the bottom, and so what he would want to do is he would want to pour from one to another to keep the sediment kept in one. Now the Gemara is essentially saying that's not an act of borer. It's not an act of borer. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. But okay, I understand when I pour off the very top. So that's not an act of pour, but as I continue to pour, eventually what's going to happen is I am separating the beer from all that sediment on the bottom, especially if I pour slowly, and especially when I get to the end of the pouring, I'm going to be separating the beer from the sediment. And essentially the Gemara is now asking this question, Amalei Rav Acha Medifta LeRavina Ha'ika Nitzotzos, what about when you get to the drops at the end? That is an act of borer. That is an act of separation. So the Gemara says, for Rav Papa, it's not that important, because, as Rashi explains, Rav Papa was a serious brewer. So in other words, he made in mass amounts. And so for him, those drops at the end, it was not good to the last drop. He didn't go all the way to the end. But what it sounds like from the Gemara's answer over here very clearly is that if you do get to the last drops, then it would be an act of borer. Right, the chicken soup on Friday night. You're gonna the pot. You know you want to save whatever chicken soup is left, and you're pouring out the contents of the chicken soup and all the stuff at the bottom of the chicken soup pot you don't want. Sounds like from our Gemara pretty clearly that what you cannot do on Shabbos is you can't pour all the way to the end, where you're thereby separating the soup from the schmutz at the bottom of the pot. Okay, again, you speak to your local rabbinate in terms of getting correct guidance over here, but that certainly sounds like how our Gemara is concluding. Notes and baits have been misinanis. Cracking an egg over the strainer. So, and the reason why I'm doing so is because, again, there are mustard seeds on the strainer, and I want the mustard seeds to collect the yellow. But also in doing so, I'm separating the white from the yellow of the egg. Tani Yaakov karcha lefishein osen osa ela legavein. So the reason why it's okay, explains the Gemara, is because really all I'm doing is I'm coloring. And that's not an issue. Now, first of all, dyeing, yeah, that's good. So dyeing is a malacha, so why isn't there an issue of dyeing? So there's a general rule, And our Gemara doesn't say it, but it's pretty clear from our Gemara that this rule is true, and the rule is, Ein Tzviya Be'ochlin. There is no dying when it comes to food. Meaning that the Isser of dying is only with material or items, but not with food. So when I'm coloring a food, if I'm coloring a food, so there's no issue of Tzviya. You already knew this because you make your iced tea on Shabbos, or whatever you're making, and basically what you're doing is you're dying water, you're coloring water. But Ein Tzviya Be'ochlin, there's no dying by food. So what the issue over here is, okay, so there's no problem with Soveya, the Gemara doesn't even bring it up. The issue of the Gemara is that you're separating. And the Gemara's response is, oh, but you're not really separating, you just want the mustard seed to collect the yellow, so therefore you're coloring. It doesn't fully explain why it's okay, meaning when all said and done, you're still separating the white and the yellow of the egg. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi explains it, I think, a little bit better. Rashi says, it's the top Rashi in the Yom, Lefisha Enosin Ela Lagavain, Lemara Shahachelmon Yafelagavain, Veloa Chelbon. It's the chalmon. This is the most confusing part about it. What's the chalmon? What's the chalbon? Okay, can I give you a little trick of the trade? Chalbon is the white. Think of chalav. Okay, chalav is milk, so chalbon is the white. It also would help you if you knew that the white is the albumin. So there's the B sound in there, so that's like the chalbon. Okay, a couple tricks of the trade. So that would mean, of course, the chalmon is the yellow. So lamarsha achamon yafel agavein. So the yellow is good for coloring. V'lo achalbon hilkach idi v'idi ochel hu. Rashi writes they're both food, meaning yes, I'm separating, but I'm separating food from food. Meaning when all said and done, I'll eat the yellow. I know it's raw egg, so I wouldn't be eating either part. But I'll eat the yellow. I'll eat the white. Yes, I'm separating, but I'm not separating good from bad. Now remember, we learned back in Ayin Dalet. I mean, I know it's going back a long time, but we learned back on Ayin Dalet that according to Tosfos, and it is the halacha, if you're separating foods, there's a food I want and there's a food I don't want, that also falls under the malacha of Borer. So here, right, to help us understand Rashi a little bit, I think that's why Rashi's saying over here, I'm not rejecting either part of the egg, not the white nor the yellow. I want to eat both, but right now, I'm only doing this to just simply give color to the mustard. Ain't con brevis psolos me'ocha, therefore this is not an issue of psolos me'ocha. Okay, that is how Rashi understands why this would be fine. Itmar chardal shalosha. Now we're going to talk about kneading the mustard seed. So I'll say the words, but I don't know what I'm saying. I don't understand this whole idea of kneading the mustard, eating kneaded mustard. Okay, again, apparently the mustard was made into some sort of paste, eaten. Okay, whatever the case is, we'll just go through the Gemara. Edmar chardu shaloshu me'er Shabbos amachar amirav me'machu b'kli avalo b'yad. So if I start the kneading process of the mustard before Shabbos, so Rav says you can continue the kneading process on Shabbos using a utensil but not using your hand. Amar leshmol b'yad atu kol yuma me'machu le'b'yad. Meichel chamormu, what are you doing? Meaning, obviously the whole point over here is to create a shinui. But we knead with our hands during the week? No. We need. If you knead with your hands, Shmuel says, that's for the animals. Excuse me. I knead with a kli during the week. So Shmuel goes the other way. Meaning that on Shabbos, if I want to continue the kneading of the mustard seed, I'll do so with my hand because I want to do it with a shinui, not with a kli. The Gemara presents the position of Rebbe Lazar. I can't knead the mustard seeds on Shabbos neither with my hands nor with a kli. Rav Yochanan amar echad zeh v'echad zeh mutter. Rav Yochanan says that it's both mutter to knead with a hand or with a kli. Abai v'Rava d'amir tavayin alachik Rav Yochanan. Abai and Rava reject the position of Rav Yochanan. Come Rav Yochanan b'shita say to Rebbe Lazar. You see why I'm going through this quickly? Okay, Rav Yochanan then changed his viewpoint and went to the viewpoint of Rabbi Lazar. Kam Rabbi Lazar b'shita say to Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar then adopted the position of Shmuel. Abai v'Rava d'ami tavai halacha k'Rav Yochanan. Abai and Rava said that the halacha is like Rav Yochanan. If you're not thoroughly confused yet, if you're not thoroughly confused yet, it means that you are a lot smarter than me. Ime de Abaye Avdalay. Now, the mother of Abaye, foster mother of Abaye.
But at the end, they all go to back to Rabbi Yochanan, right? So is that Rabbi Yochanan that many people switch Rabbi Elazar, or is that after
I don't know. I literally don't know. And the reason why it's important to get all this straight, but the reason I happen to know that the Gemara is going to end up concluding on all this. Ime de Abaye, the foster mother of Abaye, Avdale v'lo Acham, so she would make it for Abaye, but Abaye, how uncomfortable, was a little bit firmer than his mother, and not just his mother, it's his foster mother, like a little Rachmanis. But in other words, she made it, but Abaye wouldn't eat it because it was needed on Shabbos, and he felt like you shouldn't do it. De Vasai de Ziri Avdale l'Ravchia Barashi, the wife of Ziri also prepared it for her husband, v'lo Acham, but he wouldn't eat it. In other words, again, interesting marriage. She thought it was okay. He thought it was not okay. She made it. He didn't eat it. Okay, typical Jewish marriage. So she says, I don't understand. I made it for your Rebbe, and he had no problem eating it, and you're firmer than your Rebbe. So I'm a Rabba Bar Shava, have a Kaimina Kamen de Ravina, Uvachshale Beshufta de Tuma. Rava Bar Shama was standing in front of Ravina, and what he would do is he would stir it, but he wouldn't use his hand. He would use the back end of garlic, and he would eat it. In other words, he felt that was enough of his shinui, and therefore he would eat it. And now I can breathe. Amar Marzutra Leithilchasa Kachohani Shmaitata. Okay, everything we just did, it's all Torah. We, for the last 2 minutes, because the schar we get for learning will be invaluable in terms of the halacha lamaisa. The halacha does not follow like anything we just said. Eloki hadi etmar, chardu shalosh from Erev Shabbos. Now I can say it with a little bit of pace. A chardol that was needed on Erev Shabbos. So in other words, I started the kneading process before Shabbos. Lemachu ben biyad ben bekli. So then on Shabbos, I can continue the kneading process using either my hand or utensil. Venos and lasocha dvash. And I can even put honey inside of it. That's also acceptable. Velo yitrof ela ma'arev. But no vigorous mixing. We see that come up a number of times in our Masechta. Vigorous mixing on Shabbos is prohibited. We just talked about at the end of the 19th Perek, the prohibition of vigorous mixing. I also questioned back then why you're not allowed to do vigorous mixing. What did we say? We said a pshat. It looks like part of cooking. Either way, you can't do any type of vigorous mixing, but ma'ari, but you do a gentle mixing. Good. Shachlaim shashach kamei of Shabbos. Now we talk about the watercress. Another food I'm not really familiar with, but Shashach HaMer of Shabbos, if I grind up before Shabbos, L'macha Nosan L'socha and Shemen, so on Shabbos what you could do, add a little bit of oil, V'chomitz, a little bit of vinegar, U'mam Shech L'sochan Amita. And you could also add a little bit of Amita into it as well. V'lo Yitrof, and again, no vigorous mixing, Ela Ma'are, but a gentle mixing would be fine. Now, the Amita, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to explain what that means in just a moment. Shum shiris kumei of Shabbos. What about garlic that was ground up before Shabbos? L'machanosan l'socha pul grisin. So now, on Shabbos, what I can do is I can add beans. Below yishchok ela ma'arev. Again, don't really pound it up. Don't make your hummus like on Shabbos itself. You could do a gentle mixing of the crushed garlic together with the beans. U'mamshich et amita l'tochen. And again, you want to throw in a little amita, that would be fine. My amita, Gemara wants to know, and now we've spoken about it twice, let's identify. Nina, it is mint. Amar Abayish Maminahi, Nina Ma'ale L'tachle. The Gemara says, from all this, we learn just a little bit of kitchen advice, which is that mint is excellent for the watercress. Either the Gemara here is speaking in terms of taste, maybe the Gemara is speaking in terms of health. Either way, adding a little mint into your cress is an excellent idea. Osin anomlin b'Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan osin anomlin b'Shabbos vein osin alontos. So here the Braisa spells out that anomlin is acceptable to make on Shabbos, but not alontos. Okay? Obviously, identification would be helpful over here. Ezu anomlin, the ezu alontos, anomlin yayin udevash upilpulin. So it is wine mixed together with honey, mixed together with pepper. Alontos yayin shemen umayin slulin the afar samon. And alontis is wine mixed together with, old wine, with water, and with a farsimon. And why do people drink alontis? And this will also help us understand why you're not allowed to prepare it on Shabbos. The Avdi Lebei Mesusa, because people use it after the Shvitz. They come out of the Shvitz, they drink this alontis, lemekar, and it cools you down. Amar Rav Yosef Zimna Chad Ali Sabasa Maruk V'Lebei Banei. Rav Yosef describes how one time he went with Mar Ukva to the Shvitz, Kinafke, and they come out of the Shvitz, and they need to cool down. Ase Ashkayan, this is not talking about, I assume it's not talking about Shabbos, it's just in general, and he drank Ashkayan Chamra, Chad Kasa V'chashi, Mibeinisa Derosha V'atufre Dekare, and go all the way from the hair in his head all the way down to the toenails of his feet, he cooled down. It internally cooled down his entire body. Now, had he drank another cup, I'm very concerned I'm going to lose my zchus in olam haba if I drink another cup. The simplest pshat in the Gemara is it was wonderful. In other words, it was too good. And I'm enjoying this world too much. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. Rashi doesn't go with the simple pshat in the Gemara. Rashi says, "Menachulim is zechuyosai." I'll read Rashi. "Imayisa nitzol mimenu shelo amos," because apparently drinking another cup would be critically endangering my life. I would need a special zechus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save me from death. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Surely not the simple pshat of the Gemara, but that's how Rashi understands it. "V'har Mar Ukva deshasi kol yuma." Now Mar Ukva, please. He's drinking the saluntas all day, every day. So Shani Marukva the Dashbay. So the Gemara says, yeah, because he developed a tolerance for it. Meaning, like anything which is potent, you drink a lot of it, your body develops a tolerance for it. Marukva obviously did. Rav Yosef obviously had no tolerance for this drink. So therefore, for Rav Yosef, when he drank one cup, that's it. It finished its task. The general point that we're making in the Gemara is that the anomalin, which is somewhat medicinal in the nature, has some therapeutic benefits, but it's a drink. When all said and done, it's a regular drink that people drink, and therefore you're allowed to drink it on Shabbos. Even though it has some therapeutic nature to it, that's fine. The alontis is only drunk for its therapeutic nature. It is not a drink per se. You don't look up at the restaurant and see it on the menu. And so therefore you can't prepare it on Shabbos, or drink it on Shabbos because of the issue of Schika Sasamemanim. It falls under the Gzera of Refuah. We are up to now the next Mishnah. Now, you notice I'm going quickly today. That's because there's a lot of Gemara today. I mean, a lot. So we continue. Ain't shown es ha chiltis beposhrin. Okay, now chiltis, another item we get to talk about a lot today. I don't know what it is. It's a very powerful herb. Okay, and you'll give me a name for it. I'm sure a lot of you will, you know, I'm sure I'll have a note somewhere in the bottom that'll tell you exactly what it is. Okay. It's not going to mean anything to me. Anyway, it's a very powerful herb. It's echiltus beposhrin. So the Mishnah says I can't soak it in warm water on Shabbos. Apparently, the reason why people would do that is because then they would drink the water soaked with chiltus, and it was therapeutic. And so therefore, what the Mishnah says is I can't prepare it on Shabbos. And why not? Refuah. Because it falls under the category of refuah, which is prohibited on Shabbos. Avanosan l'socha chomets. You could put it in vinegar and that would be fine. Apparently, the chiltus mixed together with vinegar is not drank for the therapeutic nature, but actually is a food. It's something that you'll find on the menu. You can't soak the karshinin. Karshinin, some sort of animal fodder. And you can't soak it in water on Shabbos. Why not? Because what happens when you soak it in the water is that the bean goes down, the shell comes up, and basically the water is acting as a strainer, separating the good from the bad. And that's an act of borer and therefore prohibited. And lo shafna, so you can't rub it in your fingers as well. Rubbing your fingers is going to be separating the good from the bad. You want to put it into a sieve, you want to put it into a basket, that's fine. There may be some separation happening in the sieve or in the basket, but as Rashi points out, Afal Pi, Rashi in the Mishnah, the Pamim Shapsos Nofel Derech Nikve Akavra V'Nimsen Is Bar Me'ailav, sometimes it will effectively separate, but that's only sometimes. That's not your chief and primary task at hand. It's a Davashen and Miskavin. It's not a Psik Resha, and so therefore it's okay. In Kovinus Atevim Bekavra, in terms of scooping up the animal fodder, so don't use a kavra, don't use a sifter to scoop it up. Also, when you want to feed your animal, put it in a trough that's totally flat. If you put it in a trough that's inclined, what's going to happen is is that there will be separation happening on the incline. The seed will fall down. The motz, the straw, will stay on the top of the incline, and effectively you're separating on Shabbos, and then you're not allowed to do. Avonotu bekavra. What you can, however, do is scoop it up with the kavra, put it in the trowel. Again, same basic point. There may be some separation happening, but again, going back to Rashi, reading Rashi, the last Rashi of the Mishnah, Avonotu bekavra, litim betocha avos, v'afa pisha hamotz nofel me'elav. That's not a primary intent. Our primary intent is just scooping it up and putting it into the trowel. Some separation may happen, but it's a davar shein miskaven, and therefore it is mutter. Ibayilahu sharamai. What if I do soak the animal fodder? The Mishnah says don't. And again, the Gemara, we've seen this question asked already in a couple of times in our perek. And if I do, the consequence would be Tirgum Rav Ada Narsha Kamid Rav Yosef Shar Chayev Chatas. It's an Issur D'oraisa. It's a malacha. You separate on Shabbos. I'm Le'abai Lameata Shar Umtza B'Maya Hachin Ami D'Mechayev. Soaking food is an Issur D'oraisa. He says, I can't believe that. Well, take a piece of meat and soak it in water. Like, is that an Issur D'oraisa? Now, I know meat is not the same as the animal fodder, but he's making a larger point. I can't imagine that just simply dropping something in water would constitute nisa deraisa. So Abaye says the reason why this is prohibited, it's not a bara issue, even though when I said the Mishnah, I explained that it was a bara issue. Okay, but Abaye gives us a new understanding of what the issue is. The issue is it's uvda dechol, it's a weekday activity. Rashi over here writes, if you take a look at the third Rashi on the Gemara, Shelo Yaseh, Rashi says, Lo Shavku Rabbanan Lame'avid Uvda Dechol. So here Uvda Dechol takes on a slightly different understanding, meaning it's Vachdik, it's what we do during the week. And so therefore on Shabbos you shouldn't mimic a strictly weekday activity, and so therefore this is Uvda Dechol. I mean, I know you could label so many things as a weekday activity. It sounds like a very loose and general term to be used. The simplest way to say it is the rabbis prohibited it. Okay, Uvda Dechol is giving us some understanding of why they prohibited it, but the rabbis prohibited such an activity. Bamine Rav Yochanan me Rav Yana Ma Lishros is a chiltis bitzonin. Okay, our Mishnah says I can't soak chiltis in warm water. Right, the Mishnah says poshrin. How much soaking it in cold water? I'm a lay officer, so the response is very simple. No. V'hanan tanan inshorn is a chiltis b'poshrin. Oh yeah, but look at the Mishnah. Meaning, you read the Mishnah carefully, it's a simple deek in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, I can't soak it in warm water, which sounds like habitzonin mutter. I'm a lay imke ma bein livalach. So, it gives a very sharp answer. Look, I know the Mishnah also. I also know how to read the Mishnah. And if all it came down to was reading the Mishnah, so then there's no difference between me and you. You can read a Mishnah, I can also read a Mishnah. However, Masisin Yechidahi, but I can also tell you that I know that our Mishnah here in Shabbos in the 20th Perek is only one person's opinion. And I know that the Chachamim argue with the Tan of our Mishnah. The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, it's a Tosefta, and Shodan Secheltas, Lo Bechamim Velo Betzonin. So I have a Tosefta and it tells me that you can't soak it neither in warm nor cold water. And Rav Yossi Omer Bechamim Asa Betzonin Mutter, and Rav Yossi is of the opinion that I can't soak it in warm water, but I can soak it in cold water. So now that I showed you the Tosefta, now I'm telling you, our Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi, and the halacha is not like Rav Yossi. He's a das yachin. Lamai avdile leyukra deliba. Now, why do people drink the chiltas soaked in warm water? So the Gemara says it helps with yukra deliba, literally translated as a heavy heart. You understand that much better than I do.
Depression, no?
Huh?
Maybe depression.
Okay. Rav Acha bar Yosef chash b'yukra deliba. Now, by the way, this can't be a critical condition, obviously, because if it were a critical condition, we wouldn't be tap dancing around a soaking of chiltis and poshrin. You do whatever you need to do on Shabbos to help remedy a critical condition. So obviously, this is not a critical condition. This is some sort of ailment. The Gemara tells the story of Acha bar Yosef was suffering from this ailment. Also, l'kamen demar ukva. So he went to Mar Ukva Amalei, Zil Shasi Talse, Takli Chiltasa, the Talse Yuma. So he writes a prescription. And the prescription that he writes is, I want you to drink the Chiltas on three consecutive days. Now, also ish tachim chamisha b'shaba amale Shabbos umale Shabbos. So now, day one was Thursday, day two was Friday, and now we get to Shabbos. Right? Anyone who's taking antibiotics, which is probably everyone in this room, definitely has faced this question at one point in their life. You're taking antibiotics, you started taking it before Shabbos, and now on Shabbos, do I continue taking my antibiotics? Okay, so you ask your local rabbi. You don't ask me. So the but listen to the Gemara, because the Gemara here definitely speaks to the question. So here, the prescription was to drink Chiltis on three consecutive days, so Thursday, Friday, and now Shabbos. So it's not for us, he wasn't ready for Shabbos. He, in other words, before starting this process, he didn't know whether or not he can continue on Shabbos. So what did he do? Shal Bei Midrash. So he goes to the Beis Midrash on Shabbos morning, and he inquires, Amar Lei Tana Debei Rav Ada, V'Amar Lei Tana Debei Mar Bar Rav Ada, Shos Adam Kavu Kabayim Eino Choshesh. So he says, yeah, you could drink a kav, you could drink two kavim, not a problem. Amar Lehu Lishos Lo Kamibayli, Ki Kamibayli Lishros. So he says, no, you misunderstood. I'm not asking you about drinking the Chiltis. I'm asking about the preparation of the Chiltis. I haven't even made it. And now I want to know, can I make it now on Shabbos? My? So Amalu Rav Chia Bar Avin, B'didi Ava Ovdus. Rav Chia Bar Avin says, look, I'm telling you, I experienced this issue. V'asei Shaltin L'Rav Ada Bar Ava V'lo Havi B'Yadein. So I went on to ask Rav Ada Bar Ava, and he didn't know. Asei Shaltin L'Rav Huna, so then I went on to Rav Huna. V'amar Hachi Kamar Rav, Rav Huna quotes Rav, which makes perfect sense. Rav Huna was the Talmud of Rav. And he says, Shara B'tzoneinu M'niach B'chama. So he says, what you could do is you could soak it in cold water, then put it under the sun and let the sun heat it up. Keman deshare. Now, who are you subscribing to? Are you subscribing to the position of Rav Yossi, as we just identified about five lines earlier in the Gemara? That's a Das Yachin, Rav Yossi's position. So is this going like Rav Yossi? Afila Mandasar, he says, no. No, I'm not limiting this to Rav Yossi. This could even be according to the Tanakhama. Hani milehecha delo ishtei klal. Look, the Tanakhama says that for the very first time, if Shabbos was the very first time that you want to prepare the Chiltis, you cannot prepare it on Shabbos. However, ava, hacha kevin ishtei chamshei umale shabbata, ilo shasi b'shabbos mistakein. So however, you started a process, you started a therapeutic process, you started already Thursday and Friday. If you don't continue today, that would be dangerous. So he says, so today, it's not even an issue. Today, you'll make your chiltis, you'll make your little chiltis drink on Shabbos, and that would be fine. Going back to the antibiotic issue, it would seem like from the Gemara, it would be fine, assuming that if you stop in the middle, it would serve as a very serious danger. You are promoting the infection, strengthening the infection. But again, you'll ask your local rabbi what to do. Mistamech ve'azor Rav Acha bar Yosef akatfe de Rav Nachma Yitzchak bar Achte. Two Amoraim, traveling uncle and nephew. Uncle is Rav Acha bar Yosef. Nephew is Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak is helping his uncle walk. So he says to his nephew, when we get to the house of Rav Safra, let's go into his house. So he got to the house and they go in. Can I rub my linen garments on Shabbos? Yeah, but you buy a fresh new linen garment. Now, I've never experienced this in my life, right? The cotton, wool, okay, linen is not such a popular garment. They still sell it. So anyway, so what happens with linen? Now this I get strictly from the Gemara. I have no practical experience with this. Is you got to rub it.
Stiff, because it's stiff.
So you see, right? So you got to rub the linen. And I want to know, the question he wants to ask Rav Safra is, can I rub it for the first time on Shabbos? Now, now all I'm doing is softening the material, and so therefore, fine. But also, another benefit of rubbing the linen is it makes it even brighter. The linen already is a nice white, but when you rub it, you make it even whiter. And therefore, you're making it whiter, what's the issue? The issue is kivui.
What about the Russian?
I'm sorry, kivus, huh?
The Russian medium.
Oh, wait, just wait. We'll go, that's going to be the guiding issue over here. You're being mechabes. You're laundering. Now, I understand laundering usually comes in the form of water and some sort of detergent, but he wants to know, maybe this also would be a violation of kivus. So, So he says, I'm just softening the fabric. That's my primary concern. And so there, I'm sorry. The answer was it's fine because all you're doing is just softening, and that's fine. Okay, now if I say Amalei my by Marmine, Amalei by Mine Maulechas Chuskeitinas b'Shabbos. And now after the uncle comes out of the house of Rav Safra, so now the uncle and nephew are talking, and they're going over what he just learned. And I asked them the question about rubbing the linen on Shabbos. The answer was it would be fine. V'Amalei Shapir Dami, and he told me it's fine. V'ti Baile Lamar Sudra. So the nephew says to his uncle, as long as you were there, as long as you had his attention, and as long as you were talking about rubbing linen, so what about the linen turban that they used to wear? Can I rub that on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Surjo lo kamei mi baile. So the uncle said back to the nephew, I didn't need to ask that question. Debai me Rav Huna partially, because I asked Rav Huna the question, and Rav Huna gave me the answer. The tifshale lamar mi surje. So the Gemara says, okay, so you knew about whether or not you're allowed to rub your linen turban, so isn't it a simple extension? Whatever the answer was regarding the linen turban should be the same answer regarding the linen garment. So so the Gemara says no, because when it comes to the turban, so you want a nice white turban. Okay, nowadays that comes in the form of course, in the form of a black hat, but you know, there was, you know, styles have changed over the years, as you can imagine. So you wanted your nice white turban. So there, your chief intent in rubbing it is really to make it whiter. Here, however, when it comes to the garment, that's not really your chief intent. Your chief intent is really to soften it. So I felt that they were two different questions. So I, even though I knew I'm not allowed to rub the turban, but you're allowed to rub the garment. I'm a Rav Chista. Hi, Kitnisa. Mishalfe lidide mikanye. Share kane mimena aser. Now we have hangers, right? So when you put your clothing on the hangers, so there's never a question of muksa by a hanger. A hanger has a very it's a kli, meaning it's a processed item with a very specific intent. So you'll never ask the question about whether or not hangers are muksa or not muksa. However, in the good old days, when you got your clothing from the dry cleaner, so what they would do is they would basically put your clothing in a stick. And it was just a stick. It was a simple stick. So it's not a kli, it's a raw organic material, like we learned back in the 17th parak of Shabbos, 18th parak of Shabbos. It's muksa mamish. So now the question is, how do I separate my clothing from not a hanger, but just a simple stick? So, Rav Chista gives a very simple piece of advice. You could take the clothing away from the hanger. You can't take the hanger or the stick away from the clothing. Okay, in other words, as long as your primary movement is towards the clothing, the stick is just going to fall away, tiltum on its side, indirect moving of muksa, that's fine. But if I'm taking the stick away, that's direct movement of muksa, that's asar. Amar Rav Avim Kli Kivaihu Mutter. Now, if the stick is actually a utensil, a processed item, Rashi describes it as a conical organ. It's a weaver stick, so now it has Torah's kli, and so therefore it is not muksa, and so therefore you can move it directly. Okay, if it is, you're right. Apparently it's not. Amar Rav Chista haikishta diyarka. Kishta diarka, a type of really, really rough vegetable. So if your animals can eat it, so it's not muksa. If your animals can eat it, so it's a raw organic material which has no purpose to it, and therefore it would be muksa. If I have raw meat, you're allowed to pick it up and move it on Shabbos. Raw meat? Yeah, you can chew on it. In the time of the Gemara, it was popular, less so nowadays, to chew on some raw meat. So in other words, raw meat is not muksa. However, kivra, but if you have raw fish, what are you going to do with raw fish? So therefore, yeah, I know.
Sashimi.
So therefore, the Gemara says, that's awesome, that's mamish muksa. Amar Rav Ketina, omid be'emsa amita. Okay, now, we have about 20 lines of Gemara coming up, more, 30 lines of Gemara coming up, from here until essentially the next Mishnah. Okay, now, the Gemara over here is turning to basic advice on how to live life. Okay, so good. Some of it's random topics here and there. Some very delicate issues are going to be discussed over the course of the upcoming Gemara. And what's it doing over here in our Gemara? Unsure, unclear. I can make some loose connections between the upcoming Gemara and the previous sugya over here. But everyone, get prepared for some good life advice. Amar Rav Kitina. So we start off with the following. Now, by the way, you're going to see a lot of this advice is directed to Talmidei Chachamim. Right? It's interesting to note. Make the following observation as we go through each one of these statements of the Gemara. They're little snippets. No statement is terribly long, but notice how some of them are addressed to, you know, Balabatim, and some of them are addressed specifically to Talmidei Chachamim. Amar Rav Kitina, Omri Bemsamita, Kilo Omri Bekreis Osha Isha. Don't stand in the middle of the bed. Standing in the middle of the bed is like standing on top of a woman. Now Rashi explains what this means over here is Bemsamita, Sheish Visha Regilim Baliyashe, meaning we're talking about a bed that's actually owned by a couple, husband and wife. And if you're standing on the bed, it's like standing on the woman. Rashi says Maharher, because it'll fuel the imagination and it will lead to Hirhurim. The Gemara notes v'la milsihi. The Gemara says, however, it's not a very serious concern. It's a concern, but la milsihi. Amar Rav Chista bar Beirav. I'm sorry. Amar Rav Chista. Another statement made by Rav Chista. By the way, Rav Chista will be the one making the most of these life lessons. Bar Beirav d'zav and yiraka lizbein arichei kisha kikisha v'orcha memela. When you're buying a bundle of vegetables, look for length. Because in terms of the actual bundle itself, it's all the same circumference. So now, you want the most for your dollar, so make sure to get the longest stems of whatever vegetable you're buying. Okay? That's pretty good, yeah, good, sound, reasonable advice. V'orcha mimela. V'amar evchisa bar be'rav de'zav in kanya. Now, it's interesting because he's talking to the yeshiva student, meaning this is not sound advice for everybody. Everybody can't benefit from such advice. Okay. I'm Rav Chista bar Beirav d'zav in Kanya. So when you're buying stalks of straw, Lisbon Arichei, so again, look for the length of the straw, because tuna ki tuna, because again, they're all bundled with the same circumference, v'orcha mimela, and so therefore, you're going to get the most for your money when you buy long straw. The Amr Rav Chista bar Beirav d'lo nefisha le'rifta, let's say you're a yeshiva student and you're struggling, and you don't have a lot of bread, lo lechel yiraka. Don't eat your vegetables. Okay? Right. Repeat this one at home tonight. Don't eat your vegetables. Why? Because vegetables give you an appetite. And so therefore, you're going to want to eat bread. You don't have a lot of bread. And so therefore, mishum degarir, it really whets the appetite. And so therefore, you're eating your vegetables. You're only going to want to eat more bread. And you don't have bread. And that's obviously going to be an issue. I'm Rav Chista, ana lo b'ani yisa achli yiraka v'lo b'asirusi achli yiraka. Rav Chista says, look, I went through life poor and I went through life wealthy. I never ate my vegetables, hated my vegetables. But for different reasons, however. B'ani yisa misham degar, because when I was poor, so it makes you hungry and I didn't have food, so no. B'asirusa, and I was wealthy, why wouldn't I eat my vegetables? You're going to love this. D'amina hecha da'al yiraka le'o bisra. The kivra, because now I have money, and what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to buy vegetables? I'm going to waste my money on vegetables? I have money now. I'll eat meat. I'll eat fish. What am I going to do? Waste my money on vegetables? The amr of chista bar beirav de lo nefisha le rifta lo liftse bitsue. If a yeshiva student doesn't have a lot of bread, so don't make a meal over a little bit of bread, because you won't walk out of that meal satisfied, and so therefore you're going to have a very unsatisfying meal. Wait till you have enough bread so you can sit down and have a satisfying meal. Amar Chista bar Beirav d'lo nefisha le rifta lo liftsa. And again, if you don't have a lot of bread, don't break the bread. My tima d'lo avid bei ayin yafa, because you won't be breaking the bread ayin yafa. In other words, nice sizable pieces, and you won't be doling out nice sizable pieces. So better that you do not break the bread. Amar Chista ana mikar lo hava bitzana ad deshade yadai bekule mana. I never broke bread until I examined every one of the loaves. And I knew that at this meal I would have enough bread to eat. Now let's say you go to the store and they're selling wheat bread and they're selling barley bread. Barley bread was much cheaper. So you eat your wheat bread, and instead of buying the barley bread, you buy the wheat bread. You just violated the Isra of Baal Tashchis. You're wasting your money. Mm-hmm. Wasting your money on wheat bread when you can get away with buying the barley bread. Amr of Papa Haiman Dev Shalamishte Shechra Vishasi Chamra. If you could drink beer, and instead of beer you drink wine over Mishum Baal Tashchis. The Gemara says, that's also Baal Tashchis. Beer is cheap, wine is expensive. What are you doing wasting your money on wine? Go buy the beer. Valav Nelsi, on these the Gemara ends up rejecting Baal Tashchis Degufe Adif. Look, it's Baal Tashchis of your body. Right? This is not the first time we saw this actually recently. A Baal Tashchis of your body, that's much more important. Meaning, take care of yourself. The wheat bread is better, both in terms of taste and in terms of health. The wine is better, both in terms of taste and in terms of health. So in other words, so spend a little bit on yourself, it's okay. Baal Tashchis of your body is much better. Okay, I'd like to finish them. I'll finish it, obviously. I'll finish up tomorrow. The life lessons, part two, continue tomorrow morning. And then we'll obviously continue with the Mishnah and the... And hopefully, God willing, tomorrow we'll finish the 20th parak of Shabbos.